Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today's mini reset is on He Wants the Maldives and I Can't Even Manage the Park. The invisible trauma of holidays as a neurodivergent mum. So your partner wants a luxury holiday, but you just want to survive the playground without crying. That's not negativity. That may be the aftermath of carrying it all. Because you're the one who always holds all of the pieces. You hold everybody's nervous system and you have stopped fantasizing about luxury holidays years ago. But are you managing reality and are they off with the fairies or is it you? Or do you have a nervous system that doesn't trust anything, that doesn't trust relaxing? Are you being ungrateful or negative, or is he being weirdly positive and that is not in the realms of possibility? Which one is it? I have personally been sitting in this question for the last week and I wanted to cover it and see what you ladies thought. Do holidays make you feel more dread than actually hope and excitement? Does the idea of planning the break feel like planning a breakdown, actually? Do you feel alone that you feel like holidays, leaving the house, going places is just too hard? I really broke this down this last week and I started to think that maybe I have a pattern of hope, the hope of the holiday, attempting the holiday, then the chaos of the holiday, then feeling guilty for hating the holiday and then swearing I'll never go again. That is, I think, my five-step emotional approach to holidays. And now when my hubby mentions possibly going on a holiday, my whole body seems to remember all of the things that went wrong last time. And even though I want to believe it's going to be different, I just can't. And my hubby says to me, that's just negative thinking. But I actually think it may be like adapting to the fact that that is the way it's always been. So for example, my hubby has just had something massive happen for him. I'm so proud of him and it means an injection of money and also something that he has really worked hard on for a long time has finally happened. Now, as a part of that, he's really excited and he wants to plan something that he's always wanted to do, which is his bucket list dream to go to the Maldives. Now, when he mentions this to me with excitement and hope and love in his eyes, I look at him and it feels like kicking a Labrador puppy when I say to him, oh, I'm not so sure about that. And he says, what do you mean? This is a once in a lifetime. We should go. We should do it. But all I think about in those moments is last year when I took the kids to SeaWorld Nara Resort. I went to meet my brother and my hubby was unavailable to go that weekend. So I even took another person with me to make it a bit easier so I could, in fact, have a conversation with my brother who lives interstate and his wife. However, when we went down there, I have two kids with Arford. So I had two that wouldn't eat or drink any of the food there or even the food that I brought as backup with me, even bottled water they wouldn't drink from home that had been in the fridge, let alone anything out of the tap. So of course, over a 24-hour period, their mood dropped significantly because they were dehydrated and starving. Neither of them would interact or speak to my brother and his partner who was pregnant. And they really in that phase where they're excited, they're hopeful, they're pregnant, their first baby, and they think it's all going to be great. And I could feel them looking at my kids like, our kids won't be like that. And I mean, I've done that too, right? When you're pregnant with your first child and you see children that aren't behaving the way that you think they should, you look at them like, well, if they hadn't have had that sugar and well, if you know they had gone to bed earlier and they hadn't have had their iPad, it would all be different. And I totally understand that's a normal way of thinking. And it was embarrassing. If I call it a spade, it was hands down embarrassing. And the fact that they wouldn't eat or drink meant I had no chance of getting them to have a good time. They wanted to stay on their iPads in the hotel room and they refused to even go to SeaWorld. It was embarrassing. We ended up leaving early and the weekend cost a lot of money. And as I drove home and I walked in the door, I said to my hubby, I will never go there again. I'm never leaving the house again. That was awful. He, of course, wasn't there, so didn't have the experience, and we have not been on a weekend, a trip, or anything since, and that was a year ago. So when he mentions the Maldives, I'm not leaping for joy, clearly, and he can't understand why I'm not. So I stripped this back this week, and I had a bit of a think about it, and I started thinking about my nervous system, which is very similar to a lot of you ADHDers out there, where your nervous system doesn't necessarily feel safe. Not emotionally, not logistically, none of it. And this continual activation of your nervous system and your survival means that even imagining a holiday can trigger a sympathetic arousal like fight or flight or the dorsal vagal shutdown, which is freeze or fawn. Another thing that I wanted to mention, which is super weird, and I can't believe I'm going to say it on the podcast, is we have this frame in my kitchen and it has all these pictures of us over the past 10 years, us and the kids, right? And sometimes my hubby's cooking dinner and he'll look at the pictures and say, oh, that was when we went here, that was when we went there. And my kids may come over and go, oh, I remember that, or I don't remember that. And he like talks to them about that, about the trips. Now that sounds beautiful and it sounds like something that's a lovely experience. I have found myself leaving the room during it. My hubby and my kids will actually try and bring me over and go, do you remember this? And a lot of the times, because my hubby worked a lot during those early years and we had three kids under 3.5, a couple of the kids look similar, right? And in the baby photos, it's very normal for my kids to say, who is that? And for my hubby to go, I don't know. Is it this one or that one? And of course, they come over to me, which child is it? And of course I know. But when I walk over and have a look, sometimes I feel like I want to run away because I remember when the photo was taken. I remember the day. I remember how it felt. I remember the sleep deprivation, how tired I was, how hard that time was. And I will say who it was in the photo, but I will then go and do the washing or do something outside because I actually feel like I need to run away from even looking at the photo because it brings up memories for me, which sometimes are negative. And that may be like a really negative way of looking at it. And I said to my hubby, you know, sometimes I look at those photos and it just reminds me of how hard those times were. And he says, that's a really negative way of looking at it. And he looks at back of it like, oh, how cute, how beautiful. And my response is, yeah, but you weren't there. You were at work. And he did a great job. We managed to buy a house and I don't want to disrespect his contribution. But when I looked at the photos, I realized that I have a lot of trauma, it feels like, from some of those situations I've been in. Particularly Sea Life Aquarium, there's a photo of the three of them there. I had three under four that I took to the aquarium. I don't know why I did that. And there's a photo of us there and I just remember trying to leave, the screaming, and two people had to actually help me out and attempting to put one of the kids, nearly got hit by the car in a car park. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life. And one of those pictures flicked up and I just felt like it was a very tricky day. So even imagining a holiday, even looking back at photos can trigger some of those responses. So I've been thinking this week that my brain, I think when I think about holidays and some of those experiences, it seems like a threat, like future planning gets filtered through the lens of what has happened before. So instead of just feeling hope and excitement when I think about a trip, I think about all the other trips that have gone wrong. And if you go back to one of those sayings that I always think about, where I think past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior, always. So then that makes me think, well, I have to take into account past behavior to predict how that holiday will go. And if all of the past behavior is equaling not having a great time, then for me, I'm going to run that through the lens. So if you're somebody that runs through planning an event or planning a holiday through past behavior, those are really valid ways of looking at future and thinking about how that future situation will go. So if you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to go out to the movies, and every single time you've been to the movies, you've had a child run from the cinema, have to go to the toilet, and you've had a really awful time. When you're booking the next movies, it makes sense to me that you are going through all of the other experiences as to whether you can do that into the future. But is this a negative way of looking at it? When we're looking at the experiences, should we be thinking about more, let's be positive, maybe it will be different this time. Developmentally, my child might be in a different space. Should we be thinking like that? Or is it fair to be going through the past experiences into how that has then contributed to this? So if you have experienced meltdowns, refusals, overstimulation, or social judgment on previous trips, your brain can really see a future trip as a threat, and the future planning can get filtered through a trauma lens. And that is completely a valid experience. Someone who I love, Russell Barkley, actually talked about and documented that ADHD can really affect your foresight, planning, and the way that you see the future. So sometimes with people with ADHD, you may have the experience of only imagining the bad parts of the future. And that can be the cognitive load reacting to the past overwhelm, not a lack of hope, not a lack of negativity, but that can be the way that your brain filters information. So when I go and look at a holiday and I filter through all of the bad things that have happened in the past and I can't see how it will go well, that can be me filtering all of the negative through the future. It can come across as really negative, but that is the way my brain looks at planning future events. For a lot of us, there is a huge cost of traveling, not only financial, sensory and emotional cost as well. Travel is not just logistics for us. It can be unpredictable events, social obligation, food struggles, massive sibling fighting. There could be no safe space for anyone to decompress. And a holiday can be like an executive overload event for a lot of us. There's a lot of people in the neurodivergent community who will talk about a holiday as just a place where you have to do more parenting in an inconvenient location. So when my hubby mentioned the Maldives for the first time, we were actually about to go to the park 10 minutes down the road. And during this time at the park, there was multiple times where both of us were overwhelmed, stressed out, angry and irritated. And it was one of the worst times at the park we've had. And at one point of it, I am embarrassed to say that I turned to him and said, "How do you think we're going to go to the Maldives? We can't even go to the park." I felt terrible because I saw the hope just disappear in his eyes where he could see that this wasn't going to happen. So what can we do about it? Do we just never go on a holiday again? Do we just give up on life? No, but we do need to think of some different strategies to try and make the best of the situation that we're in. And it's going to be different for everybody. So I'm going to bullet point a few. Number one, we may have to lower the demands. And this is really described a lot in terms of low demand parenting, which I really like. And it's not about giving up or giving in to your child every time, but it is about reducing the things that cause distress so then connection can actually be there. So for example, if your partner or you, if you're by yourself, thinks, okay, let's go to Bali or let's go away for the weekend or let's do this, you may swap out a trip away or a time away with family for something more around, let's do nothing this weekend. Let's eat takeaway. Let's not cook. Let's not clean up. We are going to have a really chill weekend where I'm not going to do anything, but we're going to watch movies as a family. Now, for you, that may be more of a break on your nervous system than actually going away. My hubby loves traveling. It's all he wants to do. He just wants to do it so bad. And I've said to him before, you know what? I would love to travel. If you do the passports, you organize it, you do the itinerary, you figure it all out, you organize all the food and everything, and I'll show up. Not a problem. But I don't have the capacity to actually plan and organize that. And you're the one who wants to go more than I do. So there is a really large mental load to a holiday as well. So have a think about that maybe a weekend at home or a setup in a different way may be better for your nervous system than actually going away. So let's name the mental load of the holiday. Let's name the fact that this may be a reaction to your nervous system, not that you're negative, but it's maybe around hypervigilance. You may say to your partner or your friend, or you may say to yourself if you're going by yourself with the kids, my body doesn't believe that I'm going to get supported if something goes wrong. And I've had to say that to my hubby. What are we going to do if two of the kids don't eat or drink any food or water? What are we going to do? What are you going to do then? Or is it going to be me walking just kilometers trying to find something that might work for them, coming back to have them say, no, that doesn't taste right? Who's doing that part? Because I can't do that every day. It may be breaking it down. I've had to say to my hubby, let's do 2 weekends away, prove that we can do it before we even attempt anything on a plane. So break it down and really name what it is that you're feeling with your partner, if you have one, or to yourself or to your family or your friend that you're planning it with. And this can just be a day trip. This could be you just going to the beach. For me, the beach is a big mental load. So if you do attempt the day trip or the actual holiday, you may need to plan the recovery plan as part of that. This could be to do with Christmas with family or Easter with friends. Think about, what is your meltdown exit plan? Where is your quick reset place? Where is your escape phrase? Where's your script if everything's going south and you need to get out of there and you don't want to explain? What snacks are you taking? Who's taking the meds? How are you going to charge the iPads? Have the conversation around, what is my biggest fear? And if you're planning it with a friend, a family member, or a partner, where will you be then? Because this is what I'm worried about. So turn your anxiety into a plan and name it, and talk to the person that you're planning it with if you have somebody that you're planning it with. I've had to do that with my hubby, and at the moment we are stuck in the place where I've said, prove to me that we can do it. Plan the weekend away. Let's get through it. And then we plan something bigger. I don't feel that we are ready for any type of trip that involves a plane, like even to Melbourne, let alone anything international. And when you're having those conversations, be aware that there may be grief as a part of that process. I have already mourned that. I've grieved that. I have seen that coming well before he has. He's still grieving that. He has not realized until now, probably, that that is not in the realms of possibility. And say, I want that version of ourselves too. I want to do that. I wanted the version of parenting where we could do that holiday, but this is what we've got. And I want to do it too, but I'm sorry, but I don't see how it can happen. For example, tonight, he said to me, to celebrate this big thing happening, let's go out for dinner. And I said to him, great, where will we go? And he named a place that I just knew we would never be able to eat at. And also remember, we have never gone out for dinner successfully with our children ever. So I don't really understand why he would say that, but he's so excited about the thing, he just wants to celebrate. And so I said to him, well, how about we get takeaway, we get a bottle of champagne, we give the kids an iPad, and we sit out and play some card games and have a great time and clean up nothing. I said, because I think that would actually be us having a better time. I'm concerned we're just going to parent and parent out for dinner and have an awful time. And then they'll eat nothing. And then we have to come home and cook. And he was like, yeah, you might be right. It felt to me like I was ruining his dream, but I'm also the one who's really, I think, awake to the reality of what life is and what that will be like. And if the idea of resting and staying at home with routines and a lockable bathroom door where I like to hide, that may be your idea of rest, because I can't take on any more than what I'm doing in everyday life at the moment. And it feels like at some points that I'm like the one that doesn't want to make memories, air quoting. But when making memories mean that I look back on the photos and I have a shiver down the back of my spine at how hard it was, is that really making memories, or is that just making social media pictures for other people and performing? So I don't want to pay the cost again and again of those memories. And I want my kids to remember me and have the experience of me being happy and relaxed, not stressed. And does that make me cynical, or does that make me aware? I think it makes me aware. So here's your quick reset. And you've already started just by listening. You don't need to push harder. You need to feel safer. You need to take the pressure off, find something that works for you. If you're not ready for it, let the feelings be real. We don't have to perform or do what other people think to be worthy and to be a great mum. I'll be right here next week and we will do another reset. I hope you enjoyed this. If this resonates with you, please send to a friend, follow and share. It really helps the visibility of the podcast, and also a review would be amazing. Thank you so much for listening. Much appreciated.